நீங்கள் எஸ்பிஎஸ் தமிழோடு இணைந்துள்ளீர்கள்.
வணக்கம் சாதனா துஷ்யந்தன்.
வணக்கம் சஞ்சயன்.
ஃபர்ஸ்ட் ஆஃப் ஆல், கங்க்ராச்சுலேஷன்ஸ் ஆன் பீயிங் ரெகக்னைஸ்ட் பை சயின்ஸ் அண்ட் டெக்னாலஜி ஆஸ்திரேலியா அஸ் ஒன் ஆஃப் த சூப்பர் ஸ்டார்ஸ் ஆஃப் ஸ்டெம்.
Thank you very much.
What do you have to do to become a superstar of STEM?
Science and Technology Australia run this Superstars of STEM program every 2 years. It's been running since 2017. And the idea is that they really want to see more diversity and a wide range of people in different careers in STEM. So science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And the way that they want to showcase that is putting you through a program where they give you all of these communication skills. They get you in front of different media, different audiences, like in schools, in the public. And they really want you to talk about what you do in a way that everyone in the public can understand. And the idea is that you can inspire the next generation of scientists, technologists, mathematicians through that process. So students and young children seeing people like them or seeing jobs that they may be interested in, and you go and you explain that to them.
What does this recognition mean to you?
What does it mean to me? I guess when I was growing up, there were not very many women of colour in leadership positions that I was able to relate to or look up to. And I think because I never saw them, I felt like that it was not a place for me in those arenas. And I think that's definitely changing today. We have people of colour in every respect, from politics to CEOs to heads of department, and all these diversity and inclusion initiatives like that, and superstars of STEM as well. So it's really nice to be able to be a role model and to be a representative, to be able to go around to schools and inspire the next generation to tell them, you know, there's very many different career opportunities out there that are available.
You mentioned growing up, you didn't find a lot of people involved in STEM or in leadership in that area. Where did you grow up, and tell us more about your childhood?
So I was born in Australia. I lived in Perth till I was about 17 years old. And I was lucky enough to move interstate for university. My parents were originally from Sri Lanka, and they moved over here to provide a better life and opportunities, I guess, for their future family. And as a first generation, I feel like I was very privileged and lucky and grateful to my parents for the hard work that they put in over their lives to provide us for every experience. And so, like, how did I get into STEM? Well, my mother had a science background. She studied zoology in India. And then she came over here and she did an honours degree in zoology. When I was born, my mother enrolled me into a research program. At the Children's Hospital, they were doing a study where they were watching kids over childhood. And so I have very vivid memories of going to that institute and doing various tests and measurements over many years. And that was really exciting to me. And I loved when they'd explain all the rules and do all the experiments. And I think subconsciously that maybe influenced my interest in science. And so I sort of was introduced to science very early in my life. And I think, as probably a lot of ethnic families know, there are very few careers that are accepted by parents or that they're even aware of. And I think medicine is sort of one of those. And so that's sort of where I started my career onto medicine and that journey of taking science subjects to get there. And I think along the way during my undergrad, I really got introduced to this idea of research, and I fell in love with discovery, unknown, and contributing to something bigger and helping people with their health. And I love that complexity and trying to explain those concepts in an accessible way. And so it sort of translated from there, where I went on to do my master's in biomedical science. I did my PhD in cancer, and I did it at the Peter MacCallum Cancer Centre in Melbourne. And through there, I developed an interest in education and teaching the younger students about science and how to interpret different concepts. And so got interested in education, went on to develop a Master of Cancer Sciences. And now I work in digital health, where I'm developing programs for healthcare professionals.
I think for the first time, there had been numerous women from South Asia that had been recognized in this round.
I think there have been women recognized in different rounds. There probably hasn't been as many as they have in this round.
Tell us about your current work. Your university profiles you as a specialist in health workforce development. Tell us more about that, please.
So I've been developing education programs for probably the last 6 years. It started with the development of the Master of Cancer Sciences with the Victorian Comprehensive Cancer Centre and the University of Melbourne. And that program is really to develop the skills of people who are already working in the health workforce but want more specialized skills in cancer. And it allows them to do a research project and get more experience in the cancer field and undertaking research in the area and become a specialist of their own. More recently, I've moved to the Centre of Digital Transformation of Health. And in that centre, I've been involved in developing various professional development programs for health professionals working in healthcare. And they come from various different backgrounds, but they're all interested in this idea of using technology to enhance practice and improve workflows in the hospitals.
In the last decade or so, have you seen more women getting involved in this area?
Yes, I definitely think that today it's changing in every respect, from politics to head of department to even in superstars of STEM, there's much more representation from women, from people of colour. I think people have gotten a lot more confidence. That importance of diversity and inclusion initiatives has really come to the forefront. And so certainly from 10 years ago to now, I've seen much more people in sort of healthcare in my area of work being represented and having a voice and being able to initiate change.
A lot of people from the South Asian community send their children to study science and technology anyway, but there is a bit of reluctance for their daughters to enter into this field. For anyone who is listening to this, what advice would you have?
Yeah, that's a great question. I have a very interesting little anecdote, I guess, to add here. I had a student email me earlier this week wanting to take a leave of absence from her studies because she's feeling completely overwhelmed by her work and her studies. And then she emailed me back an hour or so later after a discussion with her family and said that they were not in agreement. And so she asked for an extension instead. And I just completely empathized with that because I think in our culture, family is so ingrained, and it's that idea of collective decision making and this idea of fear of failing. And so you always want to, you know, keep your kids on the right track. But I would argue that in some aspects, like education, you really need to allow yourself, if you are the learner, or your kids, if you are the parent, to explore different options and try different things to figure out what you're interested in. And they might not do well on that path that you've set them on, or they may do well, but to truly find what they're passionate about and what their larger contribution to society is going to be, you need to have that creativity and that intellectual freedom to explore. So I would say that we live in this time where there are so many different career opportunities that extend beyond traditional ones. And I think in our lifetimes, the statistics are that on average, 7 different careers is what you'll have in your career. And so there's all these blended roles combining multiple skills and interests. So be open to finding ways to incorporate those different skills into your portfolio. And in terms of what parents can do, I would say expose your kids to those forums where they can learn about the workforce and get ideas about what they might be interested in. So things like uni open days, career nights, participating in extracurricular STEM competitions, or even meeting, you know, like-minded individuals where they can form that sense of community and belonging. And that's kind of the best way for them to get inspired, is by hearing other people and their experiences and finding themselves in that. So I think maybe previously STEM was not a career that a lot of women and girls would go into, but that's certainly changing. And when we talk about gender equality, it's really important that we have equal representation, and there's no particular role that is better suited for one gender or the other.
What are your future plans, Sadhana?
I hope that through the Science and Technology Superstars of STEM program, I can make my platform wider and showcase what I do and inspire youth, but also use this platform to, I guess, make change in the way that we teach, how we communicate science, how we get the public more involved in science, and really permeate those ideas around science being for everyone, science being accessible for everyone, and making education interesting and engaging so that anyone who is interested in any of STEM can be involved.
Thank you very much, Dr. Sadhana Dushyanthan. We wish you all the very best from SBS Tamil Radio.
Nandri.
Virupam, Pagirvu, Karuthu, Parivu. Like, share, comment. SBS Tamil in Facebook.